Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we're pleased to be joined by Scott Dolch, Executive Director of the Connecticut Restaurant Association, and Keith Bollier, owner of the Main Pub in Manchester, which is celebrating 40 years in business next month. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, morning, Aaron.
Morning.
There's a lot going on in the world of the pandemic and some businesses reopening later this week, including restaurants for outdoor seating only. Scott, tell us what is happening on Wednesday, and do you have a sense of how many eateries are going to be taking advantage of this?
Well, sure. Aaron, first and foremost, thank you so much for allowing me to be on and just giving a sense of where our industry is currently. Like you mentioned, on Wednesday, our restaurants will have an opportunity to open with outdoor dining, following the social distancing guidelines that came out of the governor's announcement and the reopening committee. We know that there will be some restaurants will have this opportunity, but obviously in from an association side, we also know less than half of our restaurants across the state do not have the capabilities to do outdoor dining or even take on that risk in the short term. And even the ones that do are probably not all of them are going to open in the conversations I've had across the state. So that's obviously the plan here on the 20th to start outdoor dining and starting to ease into a phase of getting our restaurants back towards this road to recovery and reopening their businesses for the indoor side as well. So, we're trying to give as much guidance and leading by example as an association to help these restaurants prepare. They've been preparing all weekend and into the week as they get ready, training their employees, going over new training, sanitizing their restaurants. And, we are looking forward to welcoming guests back throughout the state.
Now, Keith, you do have an outdoor patio and you are preparing for Wednesday. How are you getting ready for table service, at least outside?
So over the last week or so, we've always been doing a lot of cleaning of the patio itself initially, between surfaces and the furniture. Obviously, next was to come up with a schematic or floor plan that allowed for the regulations that have been put in place in regards to the distance between the tables, as well as traffic flow, if you will, for the customers when they come in and when we seat them and how we are going to get them to the restroom inside. Obviously, that's going to be a challenge because they're mandated to be outside with the exception of using the indoor facilities. Trying to figure out how we best implement the cleaning standards that, we've already had pretty rigid cleaning standards in place being in the restaurant business. I think that we're probably more skilled set at that than most retail outlets, if you will, for a comparison's sake. But obviously making sure that the staff is really up to snuff on all the new policies that have been put in place so that The perception as well as the view to the consumer makes them feel extremely comfortable to be in that space, because we can do all we want and be ready to be open, but ultimately it's going to fall upon how the customer feels coming out. And so we're trying to make sure that our staff is trained, that the facility is looking the part, doing the part. So in regards to what we've been doing is trying to get that all together for our Wednesday launch.
Keith, was it a tough decision for you to decide to reopen for outdoor seating only?
I'm in a fortunate position in regards to the size of my patio. The normal size of my patio is quite large, and it can seat upwards of 130 people in under normal circumstances. So the opportunity to be able to seat half that, and when we came up with our social distancing, we're at like 55 to 56 seats, maybe a little less than 60 seats. So that gave us the opportunity to recognize there's an opportunity here to make some revenue. Whereas if the patio was smaller, let's say it was just initially had 20 seats, and the, you know, the size of it was that accommodated just 20, I imagine that would have been a much more difficult decision to make, because to be able to create spacing appropriately probably would have left not many seating opportunities, and therefore, you know, bringing in food, bringing in staff, paying the bills, all to make that little revenue would be quite counterproductive. So I do understand where I know that some of our peers are making the decision not to do so because of the size that they have to work with.
Scott, to that point, have you heard from other restaurant owners who simply say this is not going to make financial sense for me, so I'm remaining closed or just offering takeout?
A lot are. Obviously, understanding our industry, working off of, you know, razor thin margins of, on average, national average, 3 to 5% profit margin. And to use that example that Keith gave of a patio that maybe can only normally seat 20, can they expand it? Maybe there's challenges to do that with streets and roads and sidewalks. They can't do those things. It's counterproductive. It's going to make it a challenge for them to do it. And without obviously having an indoor opportunity, they are going to either stay fully closed, or if they still hopefully still have takeout and curbside, they'll continue to do that. But I think that every business, and we've told David Lehman through this process, is, you know, it's going to be a slow rollout, but we have to be fair and reasonable and make sure that all of our restaurants have a chance to kind of get back on their feet as quickly as we can, but obviously as safely as they can.
David Lehman, the commissioner of the Department of Economic and Community Development. Scott, what have you been hearing from restaurant owners in terms of the financial hardships they've been dealing with along with their employees for the past 2 months?
It's been without question a dire situation. I mean, our industry was the first, told to close. We've been hit the hardest financially, obviously, not only for the employers, but the employees. We know over 89,000 food service employees in our state have gone on unemployment. And we, you know, my goal, I lose sleep at night trying to get them back to work. And I know businesses like Keith's are worrying about, you know, all of their staffs and trying to help and support them any way that they can. But it is. I mean, we also, you know, with the numbers, you know, our industry alone in the state of Connecticut did $8.9 billion in revenue. We know we've lost about $650 million here to $700 million in the 2 months of closure. And it's real numbers. It's real, you know, it impacts not only the restaurants. You know, we did a letter yesterday where we had over 130 businesses that weren't the owners. They were the ancillary businesses that are impacted by our closures. You think about it, you know, the farmers, the fishermen, the distributors, the local florist, the landscapers, the people that rely, trash collectors. Talking with a trash company the other day that said they've lost 700 accounts, right now because restaurants aren't open, aren't functioning. So there's so much more of an impact beyond just the restaurants themselves economically that is a concern of mine that we have to try to continue to work each day to find a solution to keep it safe, but obviously get these doors back open for all of these restaurants.
Keith, how have the last 2 months played out for you and your business?
Unlike anything I've ever experienced in the restaurant industry, I guess I would start by saying I always thought I worked a lot before, never thought I could work more, but I'm probably working the double the amount I worked before because unfortunately, day one, we had to lay off our entire staff of over 40 people, and just left a very small crew, myself and two or three other people, and even that dwindled after time. So trying to just keep ourselves afloat by doing takeout and delivery through third-party service, as well as the curbside option, is lent for a very, very hard road to do a lot of work with few people for not much revenue. My numbers, I'm down about 85-86% of what I normally would generate in revenue. So we're not making any money. We're just hoping to stay open so that we keep ourselves kind of alive in the marketplace. People have always kind of known us for 40 years to never be the restaurant that closes, whether it was a snowstorm or power outage. We always just kind of always powered through, and we're trying to do the same here. But the challenge has been obviously staffing. Now that we're trying to get back up and running, that's become quite an issue for us, somewhat related to people maybe concerned with coming back, some people not wanting to come back, the unemployment aspect of that, where they're maybe making more at home than they would be if they came back, and then obviously the uncertainty of not knowing what business will be like when they come back. Order trying to get food from our vendors. We're starting to run into some supply chain issues, especially with the meat aspect of things. I'm sure you've heard a little bit about that. So here we are getting ready to open, and burgers are a huge part of what we do for business. And now I'm possibly looking at paying 2 to 3 times what we normally paid for burger meat, which probably lends to not serving burgers, which is unfathomable for me to think about. But so many different challenges daily, like just Scott said, from the dealing with the trash companies, dealing with trying to get caught up on past vendors, trying to get caught up on past bills that may have been deferred for 3 months, and now recognizing things are starting to come due and how you allocate those funds. And then, it's been countless the amount of issues that have been presented throughout this.
Talk a little more about your staffing. How did the conversation go when you reached out to your workers and said, can you come back? We're going to be doing outdoor dining only. And what sort of training have you had to undertake between then and Wednesday?
To your first part of your question, mixed, absolutely mixed. You definitely have some people that maybe live at home with some elderly people, and they're definitely concerned with, going to work and possibly bringing something home. So obviously you completely understand that. You definitely have a segment of them that have been, straight up and said, hey, listen, this unemployment is really beneficial to me and my family right now, and I can't give that up. I understand the situation you're in at the restaurant, but I just got to do what's best for me, and I understand that. So we've kind of had to put some ads out and trying to bring some new staff in. That's not always hitting the mark where we want it to be right now. But the people that we do have, we have a few that did decide to come back. We have a few new people that are starting. And we've basically been taking the information that's provided to me via my information line that I get through the Restaurant Association, as well as stuff that the governor has put out in regards to the regulations. And we just basically pinpointed an administrator in our team who's going to be the person to lay out all that information to follow up with these people, make sure that they're consistently aware of what their responsibilities are, not just for themselves, but for our guests. So that again, we can continue to move forward and not take any steps backwards. I think that's key here, obviously. There's some volatility, obviously, when you're opening up your door somewhat, in the middle of all this, but to be cautious as possible. I would hate to want to take any steps back. I want to just always move forward. And then another part of that would be moving forward into the dine-in area of this scenario. And hopefully we can get that going sooner than later and be on par with some of the other businesses that are going to be allowed to open come May 20th, and not necessarily the restaurants inside aspect. So there's a whole lot to teach them and in a short period of time. So with that, it's just probably consistency and making sure that you always stay on point with them and not forgetting that they need to be made aware all the time.
You're listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Keith Bullier. He is owner of the Main Pub in Manchester, celebrating 40 years in business next month, along with Scott Dulch, executive director of the Connecticut Restaurant Association. As some Connecticut restaurants prepare to open for table service outside only on Wednesday, Scott, you referenced the letter that a number of business owners, not just restaurant owners, but across a wide array of industries, sent to the governor last week asking for restaurants to be allowed to offer some dine-in inside service starting June 3rd, 2 weeks after the outdoor dining begins on Wednesday. And he essentially said, that's too soon. Maybe we can do it on June 20th. How do you feel about that response? And can you wait that long?
No, I think it's a great question, Aaron. I think that the conversation is still ongoing, as I tell our members, and obviously I know we understand with, you know, and I definitely applaud the governor's administration through our process here with him and being a part of the conversation, listening to him, but also allowing us to express what's going on across the country and you know, the dire situation that we are in and for our restaurants. So when that letter kind of was put together and the support we have from not just our restaurant members, but all of these ancillary businesses, you know, looking at June 3rd, it is exactly, you know, following CDC guidelines and the data that we look at across the country, 14 days has always kind of been that measuring stick. And, you know, as much as you could imagine, a lot of members that don't have patios were like, Scott, we got to get indoor May 20th. And while he tried to listen, and express that concern that we can do indoor as safe, if not safer than outdoor, we've also had that conversation about, okay, well, let's also go to the governor and talk about this June 3rd date and express it. So, you know, I'm still going to continue as we look at our peer states around us and obviously across the country. I know, you know, Governor DeWine out there in Ohio, you know, last week opened up outdoor, and then 6 days later, it's going to be on Thursday on the 21st, he's going to open up indoor. And that's kind of been our dialogue. And I think, you know, we do want to make sure it's the right time to open and it's safe. But at the same time, you know, we're trying to also listen to the metrics and those measuring sticks to say, hey, give us those 2 weeks. Let's continue to look at how this has played out and work for the restaurants. And we can get a lot of data during that time. But we also, you know, need these restaurants, you know, to start to open the ones that couldn't. And obviously expanding to Keith's point, expanding some indoor dining service when there's weather related issues or other challenges that he's going to face of just trying to do takeout and a small portion of outdoor. So, you know, I continue to stay optimistic and applaud the opportunity that we continue to have that voice up there in Hartford to express that we are a leader. I think go back to that, and we are a leader in safety and sanitation. I mean, we've always been that way. I mean, there's no other industry that has public health, in my opinion, that go through a business like Keith's on a quarterly basis, if not more. The trainings and all the things that everyone needs to have to come and work inside a restaurant, that is being expanded with the help of the National Restaurant Association and ServSafe. You know, we're sending out videos throughout the weekend about additional trainings and ways to, you know, we did the Connecticut Restaurant Promise. We launched a couple weeks ago, which is, you know, taking from some ideas from other states, but it's our promise to our employees and to our customers of all the things that we as an industry will continue to do and strive for, because, you know, that's been the backbone of who we are, and people knowing they can feel safe coming in that restaurant on May 20th and hopefully soon to be followed behind that with an indoor dining option after.
Now, Keith, I'm sure you have regulars who show up to the main pub frequently. Do you expect any sort of pent-up demand when you finally open your doors? And I know you're at the mercy of the weather somewhat with outdoor dining only.
That's the big question, right? Like I stated before, like what's going to happen? We're planning obviously for a full room and how we mitigate that when we may possibly have people that come and the room's already full. We definitely, being in business 40 years, our regulars are our lifeline and our bloodline. And fortunate for us, we've seen a lot of them on the takeout end of things over the last 2 months. And not only once or twice a week, sometimes more. And they've been there to make sure that we get through. And honestly, they say that. They recognize, they come in, they go, we want you to be here. We want to make sure that you're here on the other side. So I'm hoping that sentiment obviously continues into their ability to come dine outside with us. But yeah, I you know, who knows? Obviously, like your point, weather dependent here as well. So our hope is that it's going to be that way. But you got to make sure that you make them feel that way and feel comfortable. Make sure they feel like this is the place they want to be in, that they feel safe. And we're doing everything we can to do that so that we can hopefully get that outcome. But the inside aspect of this, I can't reiterate enough what Scott's point is. You know, even though I do have that patio, if it is weather dependent. So yeah, if we have a 7 days of straight rain, it doesn't really do anything for me. So we really got to get this indoor dining part of this plan into effect sooner than later for the livelihoods of so many people that are being so tremendously affected in such a negative way here.
Now, Scott, as you pointed out in the letter last week, it's not just people who own and operate restaurants. It's all the businesses that restaurants use to do what they do. Everything from, as you noted, trash services to the shellfish industry to other suppliers.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we always talk a lot about just the impact and like, oh, restaurants have been hit hard. Well, you got to think of, we're the lifeblood of so many other businesses that survive. These other small businesses in the state, the 130 small and mid-sized businesses that put their name on that letter, I give so much credit to of their support that they provided, because they also, you know that the jobs that they're offering to their teams, or you know, the revenue opportunities aren't going to be there if we can't get these restaurants back open, and we also can't get them on a road to recovery so they can make it through this pandemic. And that's you know, really what we tried to express in that letter, and what we were trying to talk about is, you know, there's so much more than just the 8,500 restaurants and the 8.9 billion or the 160,000 employees. There's so many other businesses that are impacted because of the restaurant industry being shuttered and being, you know, shut down for this period of time, and trying to work to get them back, because, you know, they're itching to know. And I think Keith alluded to that a little bit too, like, you know, them getting back up and running and sourcing products and trying to make sure that, you know, that time it's going to take and everything else, like all that plays into it. Like, you know, I was talking with the breweries the other day, like they're not brewing beer in kegs right now. So even trying to get, you know, a draft beer in a restaurant, you know, what is that going to look like? Those dates need to be set and start to let people to plan, because, you know, right now it's canned and things like that, but that's an example. Or the meat packing challenges and where we are with cost and you know, Keith mentioned on the hamburgers, that all of that is, there's still going to always be challenges, but we need time to prepare. And we need to set realistic dates that we feel we can control. I think I go back to Aaron, the biggest thing about, and Keith was kind of alluding to this on inside or outside, the restaurant industry, we can control the environment. You know, to think of what a restaurant was in February and March before this shutdown, it's not going to look like that. It can't look like that for the foreseeable future. You know, we have to control, you know what we can do, and that's been shown in takeout and curbside so far. I know you're going to see that in outdoor dining. You know, we're going to try to continue to control the experience for the guests, where you get brought in, you're going to have your mask on, you're going to, you know, be able to walk safely to your table. Yes, you can take your mask off to dine, but you're spaced out. You're with your group. You're 6 foot apart. You know, the server is going to be protected, keeping their mask on. There's not going to be any touching, or everything's contactless. You know, bringing the meals out and everything else with gloves. You know, you enjoy that meal together. And then obviously you get up to leave, you know, put your mask back on and get back in your car. And at the same time, that surface, those seats, those tables are going to be sanitized. You know, there's going to be disposable menus. All the dishware and silverware will get thrown into a commercial dishwasher. You know, you'll have rolled silverware that'll be brought to new, you know, there'll be no condiments at the table. That is, you know, we understand that. That's part of what we've talked about is, you know, that's why we think we can do it safely. We know we can do it safely outside, and we know we can do it safely on an inside capacity with this social distancing guidelines. And the control is so important. And that's what we stress as an association, is trying to continue to provide the leadership and guidance of how to do that, to make people feel confident again about coming back out on Wednesday, to get back to that normalcy of being able to enjoy a meal at their favorite restaurant and support that restaurant.
Now, the state and some municipal governments have taken steps to ease zoning restrictions and provide for more outdoor space for restaurants. Has that been noticeable at the ground level, at the front lines? I mean, have you noticed municipalities being willing to work with restaurant operators?
Yeah, I can speak. I mean, I know Keith can speak for Manchester specifically, but I will, you know, I continue to commend and applaud the first selectmen and mayors that have been on the phone and calling me since really we started thinking about the next phase beyond takeout and curbside and saying, how can we help? Now, not every town, obviously we have 169 towns here in the state, you know, might not be as helpful, but for the majority, they are. They're calling and saying, hey, we want to do creative ways If we can't do indoor yet, we want to expand outdoor. We want to maybe shut down certain roads. We want to make, you know, an outdoor experience so guests will come out and feel comfortable. So it has been, but at the same time, as you can imagine, Aaron, it is a process, you know, to try to get certain things passed. Obviously, Keith's fortunate because he has that patio and he already went through a lot of the zoning and public health and all the other fire, all the things that have really already been done. But someone trying to do that for the first time, yes, it's expedited, but you know, it's still a process. And I think that we are just continuing to try to help, you know, every single day. We've been helping all throughout the weekend when there's concerns and trying to make sure everyone's on the same page because we're all in this together. I do think the towns understand that the restaurants are their lifeblood, the engine that moves that town. So they are they understand the challenges, but they're trying to help. Which I've been really appreciative to see over the last couple weeks here and obviously continuing into Wednesday.
He is Scott Dulch, Executive Director of the Connecticut Restaurant Association, joined by Keith Bollier, owner of the Main Pub in Manchester. Keith and Scott, thank you so much for joining us this morning and best of luck to your business and your industry moving forward over the months ahead.
Thank you very much for the time today. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Aaron. And as I always try to leave, make sure everyone continues to support businesses like Keith's and other restaurants around your community where you live. If you don't feel comfortable yet, but take out curbside and hopefully, you know, you start to feel comfortable to come out to a safe environment here on May 20th for some outdoor dining.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio. You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.